the Band Library Podcast, a podcast that's normally, or has been, about books that have been banned or censored or otherwise removed from libraries, schools, ninja, judo factories, whatever you want to call that. I'm your librarian, S.T. Harker. I write books and things. I put words together. If you want to follow me, I'm at Harker Books on Twitter and Facebook and wherever else. Or not Facebook, fuck Facebook. Instagram or whatever. Same thing, they own it. I am a librarian, currently looking for a job, but we'll see for now. Y'all get to benefit because I get to work more on this stuff. We're going to shake things up a little bit, though. Take things in a new direction. Change things up a little bit. Why don't we do that? This is what we're going to call a filler episode. See, normally what we do is we cover a book, or what we have been doing the last couple months, is we cover a book, and for the first episode of the month, I give you all the sordid details about when it's been banned, or how it's been banned, or why, and what people said about it, and what made the book cry. And then, for the next rest of the month, I just put them on Patreon as I go over the book, beat by beat. Give it a little judgment, you know. Hold the books. Feet to the fire, if you will. And normally those episodes are only for Patreon, and those episodes are going to stay for Patreon. We're going to do that. We're going to keep doing that. First episode of the month will always be a banned book. It's the way it's going to work out. It's the way I've done it. It's the way my daddy did it. It's the way everybody's done it since. But for these next weeks or so, I feel like I've been neglectful. I feel like the feed's just been a little empty and people haven't been glomming onto it. I feel like I haven't been covering current events. So that's sort of what we're going to do. I'm going to give you basic news, recaps. We're going to go over some programs of the library that are coming up. General news in the world. Where have things been banned? What's happened around the world? Where have things been taken off shelves, or information suppressed? We're going to talk about the newest books that are out, leading the charge, just general books. You know, New York Times best and all that noise. Mostly nonfiction, or fiction, because who reads nonfiction anyway? Authors, that's who. They're not listening to this crazy shit. Then we're going to have a little bit of a story time, and then close it all up. So I hope everybody's happy with that. First off, we've got a little bit of news for the library. We're not just adding this. We're changing things up a little bit. The library hours are going to be changing in November. From 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you can come in, enjoy all of the books that you want, have fun, ask us questions, entertain us with your wit and witticisms like, "Let me check you out, little lady." That's always fun to hear. But then, between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., or reverse that, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., when the darkness goes, the library's just going to be for the librarians. And all you people got to fuck off. And that's also going to be Monday through Saturday. We're going to take Sunday off. Do little things like record these podcasts and, you know, go out into the country. Bay at the moon. Dance naked under the stars. You know, just have picnics. You know, like people do. So yeah, Sunday and nighttime, we're going to close. Hope everybody enjoys that. But episodes of any podcast that we do, this podcast, the Band Library Podcast, and Curious Chats with Evan and Elizabeth, those are going to go up at 8 a.m. on the days they normally go up. Well, except in November as well, we're going to make a little changes to the schedule. The podcast itself, this podcast, is going to go up on Tuesdays in November, starting that first week in November. I think it's the 5th. You can see it. It's the first Tuesday. And we're going to do the same thing we do. First one of the month is going to be about a banned book. November's, I'll go ahead and give you a heads up, Peyton Plays. So if you haven't read that one, well, neither have I, so we're going to find that one out. but it's all about sex and violence. I'll get into it. And then the next three episodes will generally just be like this one's going to be. Library news, stuff like that. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to shake it up a little bit. You know, enjoy ourselves. Getting loosey-goosey up in this motherfucker. Oh, and as usual, if there is a fifth Tuesday of the month, yeah, I'm going to skip that shit. I'm going to have a day off, week off of the podcast. Unless something like major happens. And we'll also probably do news and reviews and all kind of shit on this little channel. But right now, let's get into the library programs. Also, if there's any musicians out there, anybody that wants their stuff heard and it's not too crazy, you know, not too loud and insane. Actually, fuck it. If you're a hard-ass punk band, send it on. We'll see. But I need like transitional music. I need music to start and end the episodes. We've been listening to the same music for a while. We didn't listen to it for a while because I was afraid of royalties, but now I've put it back up. But I don't know. I'm getting kind of bored. I don't know. What do you think people think? Send it in. Try to keep it under like 30 seconds, but whatever. Play whatever. I'll put you up. So yeah, if you've got a friend that does music, wants it heard by about, I don't know, 5,000 people or so, send it on. So let's talk about some library programs that are coming up this week. Monday, October 23rd, 10 a.m., the Children's Book Fair will be bringing itself around again. We only do this every once in a while when we need a little bit of money. See, we've got all these extra books, but what we need is children, child slaves, to do the shelving, the normal stuff, you know. So we hold this Children's Book Fair. You bring in your child, you don't want them, that's fine. We do ask that they at least be able to reach the top shelf, you know, and be able to learn. I'm not saying there's not a place in the library for those who can't learn or have developmental problems, but we really need some helpers, you know. And they've also got to have no dietary restrictions. I know this is a lot to place on you, but we've had issues before. A lot of the food that we serve down in the basement has peanuts in it. That's nothing I can do with, you know. So yeah, bring in your child. We'll take them. We'll put them down in the basement. Teach them how to shelve. Maybe they'll grow up to be librarians. Maybe they'll die a horrible death. I don't know. But you get a book. And we'll let you pick the book. Have whatever you want. So yeah, that's Monday, 10 a.m. till whenever we close. We'll close it down. If nobody comes, we'll just stop it then. But you know, it usually lasts a couple hours. People browsing through the books. Children not wanting to, little scamps not wanting to go in the basement. Next program, Wednesday, October 25th, 6 p.m., the Future Genealogy Seminar. We've done this one a couple times too. Nobody really shows up to it because, well, basically you're finding out. Our reference librarian, very good at his job, will tell you exactly where you're going to be buried. It's very fascinating. If you come in, you learn, I apparently am going to be buried somewhere in Fiji. It doesn't have to actually be a grave, you know, you scatter your ashes. He just knows the sort of area you're going to be when you expire and where your remains will last forever. We had one lady, 26 different locations. I don't want to tell her name, but yeah, apparently her body will be spread out 26 different locations in the Tri-County area. That's just fascinating to me. Also on Wednesday, the 25th, again, 8 a.m., we have yoga for seniors. So if you want to get limber, get a little stretched out, maybe watch a bunch of old people stretching out if that's your thing, come on down, 8 a.m. And I don't remember if I told you the Future Genealogy Seminar is at 6 p.m. And don't be late to that, because remember, we close at 8. Saturday, whatever day that is, I don't have it, we've got quilting for hemophobics? What does this say? Hemophobic. Okay. Hemophobics, those that are scared of blood. Apparently, there's a huge quilting community that we have not been, you know, locking into in our community. We're sorry. All of you are scared of blood for some reason. So come on down, you know, help us out, play around. We'll teach you how to tat or whatever you call quilting. I guess it's just quilting. I think that circulation librarian is running that one. She's very good. And this is just an ongoing program, I guess. You've probably seen the banners all over the library. We are trying to be the presidential library for President Donald J. Trump. So the Bannon Library is putting in a bid right now. We are trying to get ahead of everybody else. You know, Chicago was a little bit late. There's a little bit of fight between them and Hawaii for Barack Obama's. We want Trump's, mostly so we can take all his presidential papers and we can put them out for everyone to see. Just open up the gates and maybe slip some stuff in there. Or, I don't know, maybe get some hold of those tax records. And if we have to, we will freedom of information. We will make ourselves the Donald J. Trump Memorial Library. But that's just an ongoing thing. We help your support. There's a donation box out front. Or you can go on Patreon, patreon.com/bannonlibrary. Maybe a portion of your funds will go to that. Generally, that's just to keep the lights on, you know, buy extra books, materials, yoga mats for old people, if you enjoy that. So yeah, those are the programs for next week. Join us next week. So just to recap, Children's Book Fair is on Monday, 10 a.m. The Future Genealogy Seminar, Wednesday at 6 p.m. Yoga for Seniors, Wednesday, 8 a.m. Early morning, get up here. And Quilting for Hemophobics will be all day Saturday. So just come on up. And then, you know, help us out with the Presidential Library if you can. Transition music here. I don't have anything, so that's what we got. This is the news. Everything news, the world's coming up. Things are happening. People are banning, blocking ideas, saying we don't want your art or your whatever in our space. First one up is the Louvre. It rejected Domesticator, a sculpture that depicts a human figure penetrating an animal. The Louvre in Paris apparently did not want that in their exhibit. The Pompidou Center in Paris decided to, they'd put it up, which if you haven't been to the Pompidou or Paris, the Pompidou is a outdoor area. So there's a large geometric shape. Dutch artist Joop van Lihout, I don't even want to know if I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah, he really wanted it to stand in the 13th century Tillieres Gardens adjacent to the Paris Louvre Museum, but they said, fuck that. We know we're doing contemporary art, but we're not going to put up anything showing a red human figure appearing to penetrate a four-legged creature in the style of Black Mirror, I guess. And yeah, apparently it's just the French have their limits. We found this out. Our next story comes from the great state of Mississippi, which, if you don't know by my dulcet tones, that's where I'm from originally. I got out as soon as I could. Took a while, but I did. A little town called Biloxi, way down in the south, on the Gulf Coast, pulled To Kill a Mockingbird from its school libraries because of language that would make others uncomfortable. Which, yes, and it's still available in the library. I think they pulled it from the curriculum, the 8th grade curriculum. Which, yes, the language in the book does make, should make everyone uncomfortable. There are many uses of the N-word all over that. And if you go back, I think we covered it. I think it's like episode 35 or something like that. I can't remember. And that is one of the main complaints about the book. It is a frank depiction of racism in the South. Harper Lee did not hold back. As well she shouldn't. Because it is still a great piece of literature. And if it makes you uncomfortable, I think it's doing its job. But these are 8th graders, so maybe bump that up a little bit. I could sort of see, you know, maybe 10th, 11th graders handling that material a little bit better. But it is told from a child's point of view. So, maybe 8th graders can handle it. I'm not to say, I'm not their parents. Should they be given a choice in the school to do that book? I believe so. Should they have it offered to them as something they can study and talk about? Yes, because especially in a lot of the things that are happening right now, a lot of these questions have to be answered and should be answered, especially in the South, about race, class. That book has it all. And any question it raises is probably going to be a good one. So yeah, Biloxi, Mississippi, pulling To Kill a Mockingbird. Bless this mass. Also, down south, Maryland, Lexington Park, some parents complained about paper bags that are over books, that when you took the paper bag off, the book was banned. And somebody freaked the fuck out. I didn't get her name, but the parent was, she was completely insane. If you go through the article, and all these articles are linked through the Banned Library's Twitter. So if you want any of these resources or anything like that, just go on our Twitter, find it for the last week or so, and I've put it up there and commented on it, probably with a snarky comment. But yeah, the one book that was complained about was the Little Black Book for Girls with a Z, colon, a book on healthy sexuality. The parent told it, said that, quote, the library is, quote, it's malicious intent, unquote, on part of the library staff, that the library is preying on children, that the library has started grooming kids by introducing a sex ed class, apparently was in there, because nobody else in the community was teaching it, and the person teaching it was a pervert. This is all what the parent is saying. And the sex ed class promoted kinky sex and pole dancing, which, you know, nobody wants to end up on the pole, but if it's your choice, that's your choice. Yeah, the sex ed class, the library stressed, was voluntary. The display with the different books on it were banned books. That was the point of the book, that these books were hidden from you. It wasn't to entice children over. But the woman capped off her wonderful rant saying that, quote, don't wait until we have children raped in the library restrooms, unquote, because she feels these books are going to lead to children being sexually assaulted to the point where we're at a Trumpian, I guess is the best way to say that, way of retorting, where the library had to respond. But where do you start responding when all this nameless crazy bullshit is being spread at you? So they straight up had to say, nobody's been attacked in our bathrooms. Our librarians are just trying to pass literature. And that is a, I don't know if it's a global program, the Banned Books Week, but it's pretty big. So fun. Lexington Park, Maryland. Right up there with Mississippi. Good job, Maryland. One lady. If you're not sure what Fahrenheit 451 is, the 1953 Ray Bradbury novel, there's a special edition just been released by the printers Charles Nipels, N-Y-P-E-L-S, Lab, and a graphic designers called Super Terrain. You have to actually burn the book to read it. They used a special different blackened paper that reacts to the flame of a lighter, and when you light the paper on fire, it actually reveals the words on it. It's kind of fascinating. It's cool. I highly recommend you looking that up. Joyce Carol Oates, the famous author, she got on Twitter and said, quote, and then this was the comment on the Mississippi thing, quote, so funny, if Mississippians read, Faulkner would be banned, unquote. Well, Twitter went apeshit over that, especially a bunch of Mississippians saying, well, of course we read, and we are dissenting readers, and blah, 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 because it's easy to poke a bear. And when a bear is as dumb as Mississippi sometimes can be, of course you're going to come back at him. And yes, I have read Faulkner, and yes, it probably would be banned. I think it has been banned. I'll probably cover one of them at some point because I need to, because I haven't read Faulkner in a while, and I kind of liked what I did. So yeah, I'm kind of backing up Joyce Carol Oates here. She was making a funny joke that had precedent, and people got all panties up in a wad on it. So, kind of hilarious. Also, I don't know if, I guess Faulkner is our most famous author. We've got a bunch. Greg Iles, he's one of ours. Thank you. If you haven't read, oh God, why? I'm blanking on the guy's name. Willie Morris, Witch of Yazoo County, I believe. He's one of my favorite Mississippi authors. My mother loved him. She got me reading him a long time ago. I highly recommend you read him. Okay, let's get off of Mississippi. I'm sorry. Like, diverted there. One hot off the presses that I saw today on the comic book legal defense fund. Dixie County, Florida. The superintendent there, Mike Thomas, he targets for removal any library materials, textbooks, and supplemental texts that contain, quote, profanity, cursing, or inappropriate subject matter. So this has just sort of been a blanket. I recommend that you look into this and, you know, send your help that way. But it's just a blanket call to pull whatever they could. It's just kind of fascinating, the way some people's minds work. Yeah, just pull everything with cursing in it. That's the devil's work. Dixie County, Florida. Also, rename your shit to something a little less weird and racist. I don't know. Is Dixie racist? I don't really know. I mean, the term Dixie comes from, I think, New Orleans. But in Mason-Dixon line, some people can say it there. Some people say Dix meant, it was a form of payment. Like, Dix meant 10. So if you were getting the people that were paid in 10, Dix were Dixie people. I don't know. Maybe Mason-Dixon line. I think that's probably the one that comes up the most, but yeah, that just seems redneck to a T. But of course they're going to ban them. So send your love to Dixie County, Florida. That's happening right now. I didn't see any specific books on there, but I'm sure there are. And I had to sort of skim the article. So go look in that one. And that's all I have for the news this week. Now, the top five books that are banned, or not banned, but have been sent out this week. Top five New York Times bestsellers. Dan Brown's back up there with Origin. I can only assume this book is about origin of, well, I mean, he's already done the origin of the Jesus. And something about, I don't remember what his other one was about, but so what could this one be about? He found clues in Darwin's books. I honestly bet that's it. I didn't read on any of these, I haven't read a description. I know something about some of them, but yeah, it's just kind of fascinating. I bet it is somebody found clues on the origin of a species. There's some weird cult based on it. They're going to find the original dinosaur there's going to be an evil, I don't know, fucking bird that's going to cap them or something, proving evolutionaries right or whatever. Asshole's probably going to be fighting the church again, because that's all this guy can write. Anyway, I want to get off. I don't know what The Sun and Her Flowers is by Rupi Kaur. I guess that's how you say that. Probably not, but it is what it is. I'm going to guess that The Sun and Her Flowers has something to do with sexuality, because generally, if you're talking about flowers, you're talking about somebody losing theirs, having sex, boning, or it could just be a horticulture book, like that weird orchid thief book. That has nothing to do with really a plot. You're just talking about orchids for 300 and something pages. I didn't read it. I'm assuming this one is about, you know, the big ball of helium in the sky, hydrogen, whatever, and the flowers that love it. Could be a cult book. That'd be fun. Like, the sun is a leader, and she calls all the cult leaders cult members, the flowers, and in the end, they all drink not Kool-Aid, Flavor-Aid, off-brand Kool-Aid. They all die, like flowers wilting on a vine. Sleeping Beauties takes the third spot by Owen and Stephen King. Sleeping Beauties is apparently about every woman in the world goes to sleep, and men have to deal with that. That's all I know about it. I heard a review on it. There's a really good podcast called The Losers Club. Y'all should look into it. Stephen King podcast. They can be insufferable sometimes, but they have really good interviews and pretty good book reviews on King and his work. And they were the inspiration of this little missive that I'm putting out today. King gets the fourth spot as well, with It hitting up the charts, which of course he would. Just had a giant book, and of course I covered it, so that had to have at least 3-4 sales right there with people following along with me. And I also have a copy on sale that I use for my notes at the bookstore. If you want to go to bandlibrary.com/books, we've got a copy up there. You can buy it from me and get all my little handwritten notes and all my weird drawings and shit that's on the marginalia, everything there. Go nuts. Our last book is The Cuban Affair by Nelson DeMille. Never read Nelson DeMille. I have a feeling that this one is about two people fucking in Cuba. Seems right on the nose. You could work harder, Nelson. That's all I got to say about the books that came out this week, or were top of the charts this week. Hello for banned books. We're going to lead now into story time. It's not going to be much of a story today. Something simple. Something easy to digest. We don't have a whole lot of time left. I know, I'm sorry. But it is what it is. We talked a lot about the news. Some weeks there won't be much news and the story will be longer. Some weeks, the story will be short. Like this one. Not much news at all. Just one thing after another. Talking about how I used to tell stories on this podcast. Where chupacabras. All those. Anybody else remember that? Me going down to Mexico fighting two werechupacabras lovers. Man, that was crazy. That story is available up on Patreon. It's buried down in there, but you can find it. There's an Audible RSS feed. Why am I telling you that? Well, I don't know. Mostly because for story time this week, it's going to be exactly why we don't have a story time this week. See, one time, long time ago, back before the world was completely formed, there was a small creature. This creature had four legs, almost two legs and two arms, but it hadn't quite developed that much yet. It walked around on all four of those, almost like a gorilla, had sort of that loping shoulder thing. Like a cat. And it could be the precursor of a cat. Could be the precursor of a gorilla. Could be both. And this creature was making its way along. Licking its teeth. As it went, looking for something to eat. This was a time when everything was cold. And it had sharp teeth. Because it ate meat. And it's loping along. And it spots a little, almost a squirrel type creature. This could be the great 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 grandfather of modern day squirrels. Not quite the same. Teeth are a little bit too big. The backside's a little bit too big. Everything's a little too meatier. Probably because of the cold. Both these animals have thick coats to get them through. And our creature, it gets low, bows down, makes its way through the terrain. Some larger rocks here. Sort of like in a cartoon. Those big brown rocks that just sort of seem to be there. Most recently deposited over the last 1,000 years. Haven't quite found their place in the land yet. Every once in a while they shift, and they shift now. Because the loping gait of this creature creates vibration. And the squirrel creature sort of notices and it looks around. But our creature is smart. He stops. He gets lower. He waits. The squirrel creature has a nut. Has this little brown nut. And he's trying to get into it. Using those powerful jaws, but just can't quite crack it. Can't quite get to it. Our creature gets a little closer. Careful now not to disturb the rocks. And the squirrel creature drops the nut, trying to get to it. It sort of pings off his teeth, goes off into a rock, and he chases after it, and he chases after it closer to our creature, and the creature stops and waits, knowing that his dinner is coming to him. All he has to do is be patient. Watch this klutzy little squirrel thing. Make its way. The squirrel thing comes within 2 feet. He smells it, though. He smells our creature. Our creature smells of earth. Our creature smells of something not quite ripe. Death comes from our creature. And it pounces. Goes to him. Gets him. Holds him down. Too powerful. Those ape-like front, almost arms. Holds down a little squirrel and he cuts him. And he gets him. And the little nut rolls away as the squirrel creature dies and our creature lives. And that's all we have for this week. Thank you for listening. I hope this experiment works out. I hope you enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, maybe, as I said before, we've got a copy of Stephen King's It with a bunch of other books, some digital things that I've written myself. They don't quite match the quality of that creature story, but there, I liked them. And usually the last one I put up is on sale, so go check that out. Maybe it's okay, maybe it's not. It's up to you, I guess. Also, if you want to help us out a whole lot, if you go on Patreon, patreon.com/bandlibrary, if you're not sure what that is, it's basically you say, hey, I like this thing, this library, this podcast, these writings that this random dude does. It's sort of like a monthly Kickstarter that you sign up for. And you say, here's $1 a month, here's $10 a month, here's $50, whatever you want to give. Some people give reward tiers with, you know, whatever they're going to put out that month, you know, extra podcast episodes or whatever. I already do the extra book podcasts so that we can all do the little book club together. Except for that first one, that goes up for free for everybody. Everything else goes up to, you know, you only get Patreon. And all I ask is $1 a month. You can give more, but you don't have to. You don't have to do it at all. These podcasts will still go out, but I kind of like it. I also sponsor a couple. Last podcast on the left, I sponsor, there's one called Drunks and Dragons, which is an actual play podcast. And a couple others I can't remember off the top of my head right now. So it's always good to help out other people. And like I said, if you like what we're doing here, be a patron. I call you friends of the library. We have a new friend this month, Kirsten. Thank you, Kirsten. And I'll read your name off here. So if you put an interesting username there, I'll read whatever. But thank you, Kirsten, for joining the Friends of the Library this month. It allows us to, you know, keep this afloat. Give us a little support. Lets us buy extra things. It's also part of the Curious Chats. It is funded through that. Bandwidth, the website, keep it up monthly or yearly. That's coming due. That's will be fun. But it all goes back into the library. And I appreciate that. Thank you for everyone who's helped so far. And at some point, I'll probably reread all their names again, probably next week. We'll see. But for now, thank you for listening. Stay in. Read a book.
Music, Dances and Dames, by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0.